This is Stories Worth Sharing from the Church of England.
Earlier this year, Father Sean Gilbert, curate at Christ Church in St. Leonard's-on-Sea, visited Lampedusa. The southern Italian island has become the main entry point into Europe for migrants making the perilous journey across the Mediterranean. He was among a group of seven clergymen who travelled to the island to spend time with the Christian humanitarian charity Mediterranean Hope and to hear first-hand testimonies from the migrants themselves. I asked Father Sean why he decided to visit Lampedusa and how the trip had come about.
Well, it's organised through Churches Together in Britain and Ireland. And the reason that I went along is because the group wanted to bring five young males to go and meet other young males who were refugees and were seeking safety in Europe. The reason for that is that the year before, they went with 12 young women to Greece. And what they discovered is that although they encountered lots of people, the main group of people that they came across were young males. And so it was decided that they wanted to get other people from Britain and Ireland to go along from various churches and different churchmanships as a sort of ecumenical endeavour. This whole time was in the week of Passion Week, and I was just about to do my first Easter as a priest. And so it just seemed entirely appropriate that to form my thinking for Easter during Passion Week, where we're sort of focusing on the sufferings of Christ, we should also be thinking of those who are suffering in the world today.
Father Sean and his group reached Lampedusa via Chicoli and Sicily. I wanted to know what his initial impressions were when he first arrived.
My initial impressions of Lampedusa, which is what it is, of course, is that it's a resort. So it's not dissimilar from going on holiday, really. You know, it's got bars, it's got big streets, beautiful beaches. It's quite a small island, only about 8 miles long. Obviously, it's known and it's famous for it being the real refugee hotspot, and they had a place called the hotspot on the island where all the refugees stay. So my initial thoughts were, it's sort of topsy-turvy. You have so many different travellers who go to this island, initially for those who want to go on a holiday, and then you've got different kind of travellers who arrive who are having a very different story, if you see what I mean.
Where were the refugees based on the island?
It's called the hotspot by the locals, and it's accommodation that can have up to 380 people. In that accommodation, they often have more than 500 at a time. So it's quite cramped. It's quite a small space. They do the best they can. It's a military base, so the military actually have control over it. So actually speaking to refugees was actually in the evenings when they were allowed to leave and walk around the towns and things. And it was there, sort of by the bay, by the harbour, that they were often milling around, and we just went up to them and spoke to them. What Mediterranean Hope do, which is the organisation we went to meet out there who helps these people, is to just greet those who arrive with a cup of tea, a smile, some shoes, some clothes, and do the best they can for them. But it's actually the military who take them from there into this hotspot, this camp, which we actually weren't allowed to go into. We could look at it from afar, but it's in this sort of canyon in the middle of the island, and so it's quite hidden away, sort of brushed under the carpet kind of thing. So when we actually spoke to refugees, we were sort of milling about and sort of hoping to talk to them, and just went up to them and said, where have you come from, who are you, and what their story was.
And how forthcoming were they when you asked them about their experiences?
Well, on Lampedusa Island, they were very forthcoming. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, because just the idea of just going up to someone and talking to them doesn't seem quite right, doesn't settle well with people. But actually, just speaking to them, giving me a friendly smile and giving them how they were more than happy to tell their story, because they want people to know what's happened. Even for them, they know that they're viewed in fear, that they want to get their story out there. They want to be remembered. So many of their friends and family have died, and no one knows their name. They're not on any record. Their names aren't written down. They were quite keen to have their name written down. You also had to be quite careful about having pictures with them. We got, you know, pictures with some of them, but some they didn't want to actually be on any record. They wanted to be hidden because they'd been through such persecution. They didn't want their persecutors to find them again. So, yes, most of them were quite keen to speak to you, especially if you just went up to them and said hello. I spoke to quite a big group of them, and we're talking about what similarities we have, and then I went sort of dug a bit deeper, and then you get some of their harrowing stories.
And what were the particular experiences that they spoke to you about? You mentioned there that you heard some very harrowing stories and the fact that people had to flee their homes due to persecution. What type of stories did you hear?
There's sort of three vivid ones that call to mind. The first real story we got was from a woman who were in Chicxulub at first. So this isn't on Lampedusa. She'd been through Lampedusa and arrived in Chicxulub. And her story, she's orphan, she was raised by her grandmother and was going to be forced into marriage. And she didn't want that life, and she wanted to basically escape and seek a better life. And a friend of hers said, why don't we go to Europe? But it wasn't as easy as that. Her whole journey to get from where she was in Gambia to get to Lampedusa was a 9-month journey, in which time she was captured, she was beaten, tortured. She was subject to rape and some real horrible atrocities. The companion that she went with abandoned her, and she was on her own, and she was sold into sexual slavery. When she eventually came close to the European border, she was reunited with this friend and said, you know, you left me, you can't believe you left me. And when they went, finally, on the crossing over to Lampedusa, well, first of all, she couldn't believe the great stretch of water, and she said, you know, this is 9 months in, and she's pregnant by this point by a rapist, said, I can't do this, it's too much, I want to go home, you know, this whole time it's all too much. But she did go eventually. Sadly, the friend that she was reunited with drowned in the crossing, but she survived, and she ended up in Chicxulub. It's why she was there.
When you hear such tragic and painful stories, how do you respond to the migrants? What type of words of comfort are you able to offer to them?
I mean, initially, for me anyway, you have sort of two boxes that you can, here in England, you can put migrants and refugees, which is boxes in themselves, between economic migrant and real asylum seeker refugee. And it satisfies your thinking to put it into those boxes. The reaction of Mediterranean Hope, what they kept saying was, these are just other human beings. They are just as much flesh and blood as you or I are. And so my reaction was just to think of, you know, imagine if it was my mother or my sister or a friend of mine. You know, you have to sort of think, this is just real flesh and blood. So my initial reaction was to pray, of course, for her. And we did, which is for a lot of people a consolation, you know, to know that actually you're being prayed for and have that support. And so that was my initial reaction. Obviously, the sort of harrowing stories, these are things I haven't experienced, but it's hard to articulate how sort of distressing that can be, except that there are ways that we can help, like pray. But on the ground level, Mediterranean Hope sometimes feel at a loss because they want to do so much, but actually just to be there, to be a presence, to speak to them, to help them, to love them, is something that is so important.
And what impression do you hope that you left on the people that you met there?
Well, I went dressed as a clergyman, so I was dressed as a priest. I hope that the impression they had, because I was a sort of symbol of, you know, a Christian person, that the impression that I hope I gave was one of hope, that actually there are people in England and abroad who are there and do want to help.
That was a story worth sharing from the Church of England. Thanks for listening.